This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. During the Christmas season, we are often asked, are your kids coming home for Christmas? Then we begin to reminisce of the days when our children were growing up and the wonderful Christmases we had as a family. Please stay with us this day as we introduce an idea for a new tradition at Christmas.
My theme for this sermon is entitled, The Door is Open. You are welcome. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this holy season of the year, we are preparing and are being prepared for the Christmas days that are before us. The days when we think of our Lord coming into this world, the God incarnate, not simply man, but also Son of God, to suffer and die for the sins of the world. We pray that in these weeks that we are being prepared, that you, Lord Jesus, may become real to us, living within us, not only as a historical figure, but as a Son of God. Amen.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly
in Christ. The book of Hebrews was written before the year 70 by a person whose name is not given. In the first two chapters, the writer talks about Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. In chapter 13, which is the last chapter in the book of Hebrews, he gives the church some advice on certain topics that Christians would take seriously, that they may see what Jesus Christ can do to enlighten a life and to enlighten a particular season as we celebrate his birth. For the next few Sundays, then, I am centering my sermons on these topics, which are rather practical, but will enrich our Christian celebration and Christian Christmas. We pray that it will do you a good deal of good. My topic then is, the door is open and you are welcome. Let me read you these few words from the 13th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with verse 1. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. It's a very common question now among people, especially the ladies, I think. Somebody will ask another person, who will you have in your home this Advent and Christmas season? Are your kids coming home? And then there's a smile on the face, and the lady replies, yes, for the first time in 3 years, we will all be together, all of us, and we'll rethink those days that we had as the children were growing up and all the fun that was in our house during the Christmas season. We also will probably have a couple of friends who will be there. They have been with us nearly every Christmas, and it's always nice to have them. What about some strangers, I might ask? And they would perhaps say, not at Christmas. That's a day for very, very close relationships, family and friends. And you don't go out and just bring a stranger in on Christmas Day. And I can understand that, and I can appreciate it to a certain extent. But you know, there are a lot of days in the Advent season where the Christmas message is being emphasized. And there could be one of those days where you invite in a stranger. Maybe you haven't done a lot of preparation. You have gone to church, and here is a new family, and you introduce yourself and could have said something like this. I don't believe we've ever met, but we are a rather informal group. We'd like to get better acquainted with you. Would you be able to come and have dinner with us at about 4 o'clock this afternoon? And they smiled and said, we'd love to do it, because frankly, we are just a little bit lonesome. It isn't quite the same because we are hundreds of miles away from our family, and we're thinking about them and what it will be like just to be alone. So you invite them, and you're looking forward to the day, and everything goes fine, and here comes this Christmas. Now, I'm saying Christmas because I know that we are being prepared, we are preparing for the Christmas Day, and I want there to be a spiritual emphasis in this early, early preparation. What about this stranger? Who is he? You don't know him. You don't know if he's really a strong, committed Christian, or if you just happened to drop in at the church for feeling that this might be one way to get acquainted with their new home. That would be a great opportunity if he were there and the subject of Jesus Christ and his birth could be brought up. Wouldn't it be marvelous if the person's family said, we are committed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are concerned that we get into a church where the gospel is preached every single Sunday. And what a joy it is to be in your home, for we sense that he lives here too. Or, what a challenge it would be. If he should say, the husband, my wife was raised in a church home, so Christmas means a lot more to her than it does to me. In one sense of the word, it's just another day. But I'm so happy that she can be surrounded with that old message of her childhood and the one that means a great deal to her. So thank you so much for having us here. Isn't that an interesting conversation? Perhaps you'll have one of those if you pick that stranger out and just invite him, cold, to come to your house on Christmas or someday preceding it, and just sharing your conversation together. What about someone in your family who has not had a real personal relationship with Jesus in his life? That person could very well be your child or your parent. And so as you assemble there, you think, you know, our heart breaks because our loved one is not in that relationship with God. Oh, they'll be so kind, and they'll want to go to church, and they'll sing the songs, and you'll think, oh, this only could be real and living in their life. But not so. Wouldn't it be a good time during the course of that Christmas celebration in your home, during the devotion hour, to turn your Bible to Matthew 1, 18 to 25, to Luke 2, verses 1 to 12, and to John 1, 1 to 14, three of the primary Christmas stories. The one from Matthew and the one from Luke talks about his physical birth. John takes the subject up and calls him the God incarnate. And there you could bear witness to your children. And you could even become very specific, even if there's a chilly moment there for a little bit. When on the Davenport you put your arms around your son or your daughter or the in-laws, and you say, we don't want to be preaching to you all the time, but we must share with you at this time what a difference it would make in your home and the raising of your children if Jesus Christ only had a central place. And if there was a kind of a negative rebuke to that, we'll say, well, this is, we won't get into it any further. We don't want to spoil the evening together. But you know what's on our hearts, and that is because we love you very much. Christ in your home. And that goes then to the next question. Is the stranger from Galilee, and we're going to conclude our program today with that great hymn, is the stranger from Galilee present in your life, or is he a stranger? Is it only at Christmas or perhaps at Easter that you talk very much about him? Have a devotion as a family? Or is this a daily affair? Well, you know that you've heard all kinds of voices today, but now July 1st as well as November or December or the Easter season, you're talking about that Christ. First who was born, the God incarnate, not just a man, but the God incarnate, who had come to suffer and to die for our sins. And then secondly, the resurrected Lord, when you get to the Easter season. I tell you, my friend, those are the conversations that have real meaning when it comes to the matter of these happy holidays. If the person does not have a personal relationship, but at the best, he is the stranger. Then maybe you could be helpful to her or him in saying, you know, Christianity is not a lot of laws. Sure, we believe in the Ten Commandments, teach them and preach them and seek to live by the grace of God by them. But Christianity is letting this Babe of Bethlehem's manger and the Christ of Calvary's cross into our lives, that it gets into our hearts and into our bloodstreams, and the big decisions of life are done with his presence. And we can know that he who is born in Bethlehem's manger is the one who says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm emphasizing today Christ coming. And I'm emphasizing the home and the relationship these two have together. Sometimes I wonder if it isn't true that the home is de-emphasized a little bit these days than it used to be. For example, I hear of people going to motels and they say that the price of that hotel per night is $500. I can't imagine it. I certainly never got anywhere near that. $100 was just generally the max for us. But $500, they say, is not any important figure that you have to pay to get a decent motel. And they'll go on, and sometimes they'll elaborate on how nice it really was. But remember how nice it really was in your own home, when perhaps the furniture was a little older, and was the carpets were worn and torn to some extent. But you were together, and it was Christmas. And you had a way that you were going to celebrate that Christmas. You were in the home. There are many things about being a pastor that I have enjoyed. Oh, we could say we're away from the family a lot, but the pluses certainly outdid the minuses. The parsonage is a rich place to live. At least it was. I think that too has changed now, because at the end of my ministry, when I went out and did a lot of preaching, I usually was put into a motel room. And when the evening service was over, there I sat, watching some television, probably having an extra cup of coffee, whereas it used to be that I'd go into the parsonage and they had a door, a place for me to go through where I could live and be a part of that service, that family, for 3 or 4 days. In our parsonage, we often had missionaries come. And my wife did a very good job of trying to describe to the children, who were just little, what this person might be like. I remember one day we had a missionary who was coming from Nigeria. And my wife said to them, now you have to remember that this person is black. He's black. And so the missionary came, and a nice dinner had been prepared by my wife, and we were all assembled, and we had bowed our heads in prayer and were beginning to eat. When my wife was out in the kitchen, and my son got up immediately and went to the kitchen and said to his mother something we will never forget. He's not licorice. He's just chocolate. Is he that way all over? See, he was just a little boy, probably 3 years old or something like that. But we had an opportunity, and I told our guest what he had said. And then he began to talk. And he said to that little boy, he said, you see my skin? It's black. Or you can call it chocolate. Yours is white, and that's nice too. But you know, inside, we have a Savior, and that's where he lives, inside of us. So it really doesn't matter very much whether we're black or brown or red or white or what we are. When Jesus is our Savior in the parsonage, in the home, then we can expect great things to happen to us. I remember one other that we had. She was a lady, and she had also spent some time in Africa. And she had come to be our speaker that evening. My wife had met her, and she had said to her, "You know, we're going to be very happy to have you. But if the children get too boisterous, don't hesitate to tune them down." Well, the lady came, and she had a sad expression on her face. And one of the little girls, we had two of them, came to the kitchen to say to her mother, "Do you think she has ever been kissed?" We had to laugh about that, and we chose not to share that with our friend from the mission field. But it's a home, and the family gathered around, especially rich when he is not the good shepherd only, but he's the Son of God and Savior of the world. He is not only the stranger from Galilee, but he's a personal Lord who has invaded our lives until he is our best guest. The speaker staying in the parsonage was a kind of a cold, it was a warm experience for me. Put me in a motel, and I didn't like it very well. I was anxious to get home. Don't forget that Advent and Christmas is one of the most lonely times of the year. During this year, some have had a death in their family, and this is the first Christmas they are without that loved one. Why don't you say to somebody who is down in the dumps, going to be alone, "The door is open, and you are welcome." And then once again, you will understand what Jesus meant when he said, "Remember those people who are strangers. Entertain them, for they can become angels in your midst." We've experienced that, and we hope you will too. Amen.
In fancy I stood by the shore one day of the beautiful murmuring sea. I saw the great crowds as they thronged the way of the stranger of Galilee. I saw how the man who was blind from birth in a moment was made to see. The lame were made whole by the matchless skills of the stranger of Galilee. His look of compassion, his words of love, they shall never forgotten be. When sin sick and helpless, he saw me there, the stranger of Galilee. He showed me his hand and his riven side, and he whispered, "It was for thee." My burdens fell off at the pierced feet of the stranger of Galilee. And I felt I could love him forever. So gracious and tender was he. I claimed him that day as my Savior, the stranger of Galilee.
Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we pray that in the busyness of the day, we may take time out early on to consider some of these wonderful words from God that are speaking to our hearts, preparing us to come and celebrate your incarnation. Lord Jesus, this day we ask your presence with us through the Word, and through our friends who come. We pray that if they are not Christians, we may find a mission field right in our living room surrounding the Christmas tree. What a blessing that would be if one from our family or our host of friends who didn't really know what that personal relationship was all about might lay hold of it and may cry out, "This is a Christmas that I'll never forget, for I have met the stranger from Galilee," in whose name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to open your heart to the joy of sharing your faith in Jesus Christ with those who long to hear his message. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or some other special occasion. For your convenience, we're able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. CDs and printed copies of today's program are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you may call 277-0924. You can also find today's message and past messages on our website. Feel free to visit us anytime at christiancrusaders.org. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray that you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker of the past 50 years on Christian Crusaders. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of broadcasting biblical truth.